you're seated. I haven't preached from a stage in about 20 years, and so I'd rather be down here with you. Of course, I'm tall enough where you'll be able to see me wherever you sit. Brother Reuben, I forgot about kicking you out of youth camp. Now that it makes sense to me now that when I walked in, you told me if you don't behave yourself, I'm throwing you out. I was in Conroe, Texas, the last Sabbath of September. I was invited down there to speak. And my wife and I left early. We live up in the Ozark Mountains, so we left early in the morning to go down to Conroe. And my wife was hurrying me up because I tend to kind of forget things. And so we got in the car, and we were 3 hours away from home, heading toward Texas. And my wife said to me, "You know, there's some bananas in the back seat of the car. Why don't you get those bananas, and we'll eat the bananas before we stop for breakfast?" And I said, "Okay." So I peeled her banana. I gave her a banana. I peeled my banana and started eating my banana. And something just wasn't right. And then I realized I left my teeth on the cabinet in the bathroom. So when I told my wife that, she said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I'll borrow a set from somebody in Conroe." Nobody in Conroe loaned me theirs. Well, then that next morning, I got up to take a shower. And I took my shower and went into the bedroom to get dressed and realized, to my surprise, I had forgotten to pack underwear. And my wife offered me a pair of hers. And I said, "I'm not going to do that." She said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, maybe somebody in Conroe will loan me some of theirs." So we ended up going to Walmart, and I got a new pair. And so this time, the first thing I packed when I got up to fly out, first thing I did was put my teeth in and made sure I had underwear in my suitcase. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this privilege and opportunity to be here on this beautiful Sabbath day. What a wonderful worship time we had, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for that opportunity to worship you together. Father, we pray your blessing on this congregation this morning. We pray that you will be present, that Jesus will be present, that the Holy Spirit will move on this whole congregation this morning and send us a revival and a renewal and an awakening. Because, Lord, we love you. More than anything and more than anyone in this universe, we love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was living in Sacramento, I used to love to go up and spend some time with Dr. Desmond Ford. We developed a good relationship, and I think it was through Dr. Ford that I really learned what grace really was all about. And he said to me this, he made this comment that I never forgot. I think I have it down here verbatim. He said, "The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in all of human history." Then he said, "It cannot be repeated, and it never needs to be duplicated." Christ's crucifixion, his birth, Jesus Christ divides time. You know that. In the secular history is divided by Jesus Christ. We call before Christ's birth, we call it BC. And then after Christ came, we call it DC, which stands for Anno Domini, which basically means the year of the Lord from his birth to today. So Christ divides time, BC and AD. Even in the secular world, Christ divided time. Folks, I want us to understand that when we, you and I, looked at the cross of Jesus Christ from our side, we saw the need for salvation. You and I saw that need. We looked at the cross of Christ, we realized that if we're going to be saved, we need to be saved by what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And we see salvation. When God looked at the cross of Christ from his side, let me share with you what God saw. God saw our need for redemption. Redemption is removing us from the marketplace of sin. And so we needed redemption. God saw that we needed propitiation. Propitiation is appeasing God's wrath because of our sin. So God saw propitiation. God saw substitution. You and I could not die for our own sins. It just was impossible to do that. Because what it took was a sinless, perfect sacrifice to die on the cross for our sins, so that everyone who believed in Jesus Christ and accepted Him as their personal Savior would be saved through Jesus Christ. God saw the need for reconciliation. Reconciliation, Christ's death on the cross, brought us back in a right relationship with God. And then God saw adoption. Through Jesus Christ, the moment we repent of our sins, and the moment we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, God adopted us into the family of God. And now, folks, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. When I got the invitation to come here, I was thinking I was going to get a theme. You know, when you get a theme, you can go different directions with the theme. And so when I asked for the theme, this is what I got. Words. Justification, sanctification, glorification, salvation. And that kind of excited me because, you know what? You can't go different directions with that. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about justification and what it is, sanctification and what it is, and then glorification, what that will be. I want us to all have a proper understanding of justification. Just to understand justification, we have to have that proper understanding. I want to read to you a quote that I got from Wayne Grudem from his writings called Systematic Theology. I want you to listen to this. It's a good definition of a working definition of what it means, what justification means. Here's what he said. A right understanding of justification is absolutely crucial to the whole Christian faith. Once Martin Luther realized the truth of justification by faith alone, he became a Christian and overflowed with the newfound joy of the gospel. Even today, a true view of justification is the dividing line between the biblical gospel of salvation by faith alone, and all false gospels of salvation based on works. Justification is an instantaneous act, instantaneous legal act of God, in which He thinks of our sins as forgiven, and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, and declares us to be righteous in His sight. Okay? Sanctification begins with justification. And while justification is a one-time act of God, sanctification is a continual process until you are taken to be with the Lord. Once the sinner is justified through faith in Jesus Christ, that faith must produce outward results, which is good works. So I want us to understand, folks, that justification, as Christians, we have been justified only through the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross when He died for our sins. The moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, justification for people who accept Jesus Christ began. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the moment you said, "Father, I repent of my sins, and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior," that at that moment, your justification took place. Now, folks, I want you to understand this. Justification is a one-time act that took place when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christ took our sin on Him, but Christ had no sin in Him. Second Corinthians, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He had no sin in Him. He had our sin on Him. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, here's what he says. I'll give you a chance to get there. And I'm hoping you're taking some notes because this is exciting to me. Paul told the church at Corinth, God made him, referring to Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Christ traded places with us. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we experience justification. But God gave us Christ's righteousness. When he looks at Jesus, he sees our sin. But when he looks at you and me, because of Jesus Christ, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Don't be afraid to say amen. This is exciting stuff. Justification is a legal term. To be justified means to be declared righteous just if I'd never sinned. So your justification took place when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Folks, I want you to understand something. It is not a pardon. It is a complete exoneration of our sin. It's a pronouncement by God that we are no longer guilty. And it is a declaration that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was made on our behalf through his shed blood on the cross, period. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing that you can do to make God love you less. God loved you with the greatest love he could love us. Well, we were still in sin, but Paul said, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still, what? Still what?
Sinners.
Christ died for us. So folks, this idea that some people have, the harder I work, the more God's going to love me, is a false premise. Because the Bible tells us that God loved us with all the love he had when we were still in sin, and he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Amen? One of my favorite authors is Jerry Bridges, and he wrote several books. He wrote The Pursuit of Holiness and The Practice of Godliness, which are two books that I try to read every year. And Jerry Bridges said this, to be justified means more than to be declared not guilty. Did you hear that? To be justified means to be more than be declared not guilty. It actually means to be declared righteous before God. It means God has imputed or charged the guilt of our sin to his son Jesus and has imputed or credited Christ's righteousness to us. And I want you to understand that. I want you to believe it down deep in your souls. I want you to take it home. And I want you to bask in the full blaze of God's love and forgiveness. Because if you sit here with Jesus Christ in your heart, you have been justified through Christ. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. What does he see? He sees your righteousness, not your sin. Now, I want us also to understand that outside of Jesus Christ, every one of us, before we knew Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we were separated from God. And life looked pretty hopeless when it came to our walk and relationship with God. And there is no way, absolutely no way, that any of us here could bridge that gap on our own. We don't have enough money. There's not enough work you can do. We couldn't bridge that gap between ourselves and God. Now, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. I want to read to you the first part of that verse. I want you to hear this. Paul said this, but now that you have been united with Jesus Christ, once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to God through what? The blood of Christ. Nothing could bring you near to God. Nothing could bring about that complete and total atonement. Nothing would satisfy God's wrath that he's going to pour out on a world who walked away from him and who is living in sin. And nothing could stop that
except for the blood of Jesus Christ and our repentance and our willingness to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins.
Paul says that since we've received that justification by our faith in the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, Paul said, now there's peace between you and God, between me and God. There's peace between us. In Romans 5:1, listen to what Paul says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, as you sit here this morning,
as a Christian who's accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, you can't work at it. You can't do enough work. You can't buy it because there's not enough money in the world to pay for what Christ did. God has given it to us as a free gift. And when did he give it to us? When did he give it to us?
He gave it to us through Jesus Christ when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And our justification took place. Are you hearing that? Understand it. I'm going to tell you something. And I've
noticed this over the years. With Sabbath-keeping people, we have to be careful because somehow, somewhere, there are people who think that, well, because I keep the law, maybe God will love me more. Because I'm a good person, maybe God will love me more. But I want us all to understand this one thing. God already loved you with the greatest love he could give you. And we're going to talk about that again later on today. When he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins while you and I were still sinners. That's the hope that we have through Jesus Christ.
Now, once we've experienced that justification, the sanctification process begins. Sanctification means to be set apart. It has the same root as the words saint and holy. Not only were you justified when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and repent of your sins, but the sanctification process began. There's three aspects to sanctification, and I want to share these three aspects with you. First, the believer has been set apart by his position as being in the family of God. This is what we call positional sanctification. You are sanctified just by believing in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross.
By accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, committing your lives to him, you have been set apart and made holy. And the positional sanctification had already taken place. The next phase of sanctification is what is called progressive sanctification.
Anybody here perfect?
Anybody here without sin? It's hard sometimes for us as believers of Jesus to say, well, you know what? Sometimes I do sin. All of us struggle with that. We may sin by some of the things we think. We may sin by some of the things we feel. We may sin by some attitudes we hold. Every one of us, sitting here today, we have sin in our lives. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we are our liar and the truth is not in us. So every one of us sitting here this morning sits here with a sin nature, and periodically we battle that sin nature, and sometimes we do commit sin. But we're growing and growing and growing into the image of Jesus. Isn't that great? You know, I am not where I used to be. And I'm happy with my walk in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But I am not content. Never, ever be content with where you are in relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Always understand that you and I are progressing more and more, becoming like Jesus Christ, growing more and more and experiencing growth into the image of Jesus Christ. Follow me to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at verse 14. This one verse has the positional sanctification, which means
by who we are in Jesus Christ, we have been sanctified. And then tells us that we are being sanctified. Hebrews 10:14 says this, by a single offering, he has perfected for all time, sanctified, those who are being sanctified. So you have been sanctified at your conversion experience, but you are still going through a sanctification process that is known as progressive sanctification. You're growing more and more into the image of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I think you can do better than that. Amen?
Amen.
Get excited about this. You know what? You couldn't do it on your own. You couldn't do it on your own. It was Jesus Christ who gave us the strength and power through his death on the cross,
who did all the work for us. Okay, Hebrews 10:14, I'm going to read it again. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time, positional sanctification, those who are being sanctified, that's the progressive sanctification. Listen to what Paul said. This is one of my favorite Paul verses in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. In your walking relationship with Jesus Christ, you're being renewed. You are growing into the image of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is giving you the strength and the power to do that. The Holy Spirit, folks, the Holy Spirit working in us because of the work of Christ on the cross for us gives us the power to be obedient to Christ and overcome the works of the flesh. Now I want you to listen to this. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in progressive salvation. We just can't sit back and say, oh God, cleanse me from my sins. Oh God, I want you to divinely intervene in the sin in my life, the bad habits, or the sins, or the attitudes, or the anger, or the resentment, or the bitterness, or the malice that's in my heart. God, I want you to take that all away from me. The Bible says that there's a certain part of progressive salvation you and I have to be involved in. Now I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 2 with me, because Paul shows us what our part is in this thing of progressive salvation. Here we go, progressive sanctification. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. So you were raised with Christ when you died and were buried in the water and you've been raised up again. That connected you. Your spirit, your baptism that you went through connects you spiritually to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. You see that? Set your hearts. He's telling us we need to set our hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And he says this in verse 2. Set your minds on the things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who appears, is your life, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So Paul tells us we have something to do. We have to set our hearts and set our minds on the things from above. Now listen, it gets better. Then he uses the word put. He said, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death. That's my responsibility. There are certain things that I have to put to death, and I have to stop doing. This is what Paul says. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. So now he says, first he says, set your mind and your heart on Jesus Christ. Then he said, put to death. Then he said, but now you must rid yourselves. There's a work that we have to do. We need to rid ourselves of all such things as these, anger and rage and malice. And he goes on, slander and filthy language from the lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the same image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, slave, Scythian or slave, or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, now he goes on in verse 12, is God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now he says, clothe yourselves. When I got up this morning, guess who dressed me? Well, it wasn't my wife, I dressed myself. So when Paul says, clothe yourselves, he's saying there's something that you and I spiritually need to put on. And listen to what he says. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So there are things when it comes to this progressive sanctification, growing into Christ-likeness, we just can't sit back and say, Jesus, divinely intervene and make me God whatever you want to make me into. Because the Bible tells us now in the progressive sanctification, yes, God gives us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, but he also expects us to do our part in growing spiritually. Amen? Now listen. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were given a new nature, another nature. But you still have your old nature. That's what happens when we sin. The old nature takes over. And what we do is we want to live under the influence and inspiration of the nature that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Now, when I was a sinner, before I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I did all kinds of unrighteousness. Before you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you did all kinds of things. Even people who grew up in the church, good church people, who went to church every week as kids, every one of us had sin in our lives. Okay? But now that we're Christians, if we sin, it's because we choose to sin as Christians. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. You get it. Because you struggle with that. We all do. We're all in the same boat. We're all together. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen to this. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will provide a way of escape that you may bear. So in that progressive sanctification mode that we're in now, all of us are in that mode together since we know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. We don't have an excuse when we sin. Because sin is now a choice for us. Because Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken us, but that's common to everybody. And God provides a way of escape that we may enter under. That's progressive sanctification that we're dealing with right now. And then here's the third aspect of sanctification. Are you ready for this one? It is when the positional sanctification, your position in Christ, because you are a Christian, you've been sanctified. Your progressive sanctification, because you're growing more and more to become like Jesus every day. When Jesus Christ returns and you're changed from mortal to immortal, at that moment, your positional sanctification, your progressive sanctification is united with ultimate or the future sanctification that comes when Jesus Christ returns. 1 John 3:23. Listen to this. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we shall be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Everything comes together. Amen. Everything culminates when Jesus Christ returns. Your positional sanctification, your progressive sanctification that you're involved in right now, comes together when Jesus Christ returns, and then we experience ultimate sanctification because Christ has come. I hope that you understand a little bit better what justification, sanctification is all about. Your justification took place when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's a one-time act that God did because of Jesus. Sanctification, progressive sanctification, is a lifetime. And it culminates when Jesus Christ returns. Here's the conclusion. The moment we repented of our sins, the moment we repented of our sins and received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we experienced justification through Jesus Christ. This is kind of recapping what we talked about. Remember, I told you this. Justification is a one-time act that God gave to us at our conversion experience. And remember this. Progressive sanctification is a lifelong process that started when you and I were justified through Jesus Christ and accepted Him as our personal Savior. God, listen to what I'm going to say to you now. God is working on every single person sitting in this congregation this morning. Because you know what His goal is? You folks have been predestined. Okay? You're not predestined to be saved, and you're not predestined to be lost. The Bible teaches free will. But Paul said in Romans that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, we all look different. I look like a lot of you. I'm short, dark-complected. I was going to say black hair, but that went a long time ago. And some of you are lighter-complected. Some of you have thick hair. Some of you don't. The bottom line is, the one thing we all have in common, we all look like Jesus. Isn't that great? I have no idea what Jesus looks like physically. I'd like to think He looked like me, but that won't work. But spiritually speaking, we all look like Jesus Christ. Because God gave us the righteousness of Jesus when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen?
Amen?
God bless you. Now, I want to close with this. This is my last comment. Is there anything in your life today, when you came here this morning, is there anything in your life today that you need to let go of? To let God take control of? Is it a bad habit of some kind? That we know we shouldn't be involved in that, but we put it on the back burner because it's just too hard to deal with it. Is it a sin that we're holding on to? Maybe it's we go through depression, or we have rage, or we have malice in our heart. Folks, this morning, in order for the process of sanctification to take place so that we look more and more like Jesus, before this day ends, I'm asking you to willingly to surrender that to God and experience that deeper life that only Jesus Christ can give through the justification and sanctification that we've experienced. I'm going to ask you to bow with me right now. Father, we want to take this time to thank You for this privilege and opportunity to hear what Your Word has to say about being justified through Jesus and being sanctified through Jesus Christ and the progressive sanctification that's going on right now. Positionally, Father, we understand that we were sanctified because of our position and who we are in Christ. Progressively, we understand that we're growing more and more to become like Jesus. Though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day, and You are growing us into the image of Your Son, Jesus. And that will culminate. They will come together when we experience our ultimate sanctification when Jesus Christ returns. Father, awaken us as a church. Send us a revival. Send us a renewal. Send us an awakening in our lives so that we can be everything that You want us to be. Because of the complete and total work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
period, without adding anything else. Move on us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.